Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show, wherever you listen to the show, iTunes, Stitcher, your phone, your Android. Appreciate the support. Appreciate those comments on iTunes and the five-star rating. Do it right now while you're listening to the intro. It takes 2 seconds, helps us climb the pod charts, and continue to get the ALN podcast out there so that people can enjoy all the episodes that we've been throwing at you. And so many... so many more dope ones coming up. Next week, Brad and I are recording Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm, Howie Mandel from, you know, Bobby's World and fucking Monsters, Little Monsters, and America's Got Talent, Deal or No Deal, and also Jay Moore, just amazing comedian, actor, and some other big guests that we're working on right now. So keep rating the podcast on iTunes, give it a 5-star rating, and comment on the iTunes page. That helps us yet again. Last night's Laugh Bonanza show at the Laugh Factory, want to say real quick, was unbelievable. If you weren't there, I'm sorry. If you don't live in L.A., you got to figure that out next time. It was me, Brad, Aaron Foley, who will be on the podcast in a couple weeks, Ryan Sickler of the Crab Feast, who was amazing, Dana Carvey, who rarely does stand-up, and came in to do the show just for us and crushed it. He shut down a heckler by doing Church Lady. The guy yelled out something drunk, and Dana goes, "Well, isn't that special? Some of us are on stage and some of us are in the audience." And just like Church Lady'd him. It was fucking unbelievable. And then my boy Harlan Williams closed it out. And, you know, a true professional. Like, Dana crushed. I'm sitting there watching Harlan being like, "You're such a different energy." But he's just not even flinching, dude. He just goes up, does his thing, and murders just as hard. The crowd was electric. The Factory was great. Thanks again for having us there. And we're going to do it again hopefully next month. So stay tuned for that. Today's episode I've been wanting to have for a while, as soon as I met this dude. He's one of the stars of Undateable, which also stars all our buddies and former ALN guests, Brent Moore and Chris D'Elia, Ron Funches, and Rick Glassman. He is a Brit. He is a comedy fucking specialist. He showed us how to... we went back and forth doing our English and American accents, which was really fun. Got some history on where he came from and how tough the transition to the States was. Being around all comedians on a show that that relies heavily on improv. I'm talking about David Finn, baby. David Finn, one of the stars of Undateable. He plays Brett, the gay bartender. It was just a really fucking fun interview. The guy rarely does podcasts, he says. You know, they do so many press interviews. I think he really enjoyed shooting the shit with Brad and I and getting a little more raw and conversational. Undateable, of course, premieres for its third season. Premiering its third season, October 9th on NBC. All live episodes, which we get into as well. That's crazy. No sitcom has ever done this before. I think it's going to crush. A lot of people say it could make or break the show. I think it's going to make it. I think the show's going to... all these guys are so good. And a third season shows really find their legs by that time. And Dave fits right in. It was a blast to have him on. You also got to check out his Instagram. He just started doing this 15-second Shakespeare clips that have gone viral. He's got Minnie Driver, I think Patrick Stewart. He's gotten all sorts of crazy celebs, and they're blowing up on the internet. And it's fucking incredible. So follow him on Instagram at David Finn, DavidFynn. That's where he also is on Twitter at David Finn. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. And of course, go see Brad Williams doing stand up comedy at the House of Comedy in Bloomington, Minnesota, September 30th through October 4th. In Bloomington, Minnesota, House of Comedy, Brad Williams. And then, of course, October 15th through the 18th in Albany, New York. Brad will be at the Funny Bone. The Funny Bone in Albany, New York, October 15th through the 18th. Go see Brad there. I will be all around L.A. for the next few weeks. I'm staying in town. Only have a few road gigs coming up. I'll be at the Laugh Factory on October 1st. I'll be at the Laugh Factory on September 28th. I'll be at the Comedy Store Main Room on October 3rd. I'll be at the Irvine Improv October 13th. I'll be at the Soho House October 13th. I'll be at the Westside Comedy Theater October 17th. And of course, I'm headlining a one-nighter in Spokane, Washington. If you live in Seattle or anywhere near Spokane, I'm finally coming out that way, baby. The Bing Theater, October 23rd, 8 p.m. Get your tickets now. It's going to be a blast. I'm going to do an hour and change, a lot of new material. The Bing Theater is an incredible venue out there in Spokane, Washington, bringing my friend Kelsey Cook. So come out and support us October 23rd, 8 p.m. And of course, continue your support of the podcast by getting your merch at estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y, merchandise.com. Get your shirts, your mugs, bring them to the shows. We'll sign them and have a lot of fun that way. And have a, what a great pitch, and have a lot of fun that way. You know, bring your stuff, we'll sign it. You know, that's right. Hey, we could not sign it, and then how much fun would you have? Exactly. Oh, and don't forget, October 20th, 8 p.m., the Hollywood Improv, the ALN live podcast. This is going to be a stacked lineup. Get your tickets at improv.com. October 20th, 8 p.m., that's a Tuesday. The About Last Night podcast is going live, baby, at the Hollywood Improv. Get your tickets right now at improv.com. And, of course, go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com to get all past episodes. And I think that's it. Now that we got all the tour dates out of the way, that's the merch info. Those are the Twitter handles. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy, David Finn.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day, so come on. It's about last night.
We spared no expense.
Sweet headphones.
Yes.
I'm going to warn you now, I'm fucking boring.
That's an excellent way to start yeah. a podcast.
Into with that, yeah.
So anyone listening, if you just caught David saying I'm fucking boring, just turn it off right now.
Yeah.
Because we're just going to talk a lot of shit.
You can adjust that mic and or chair any way you want,
cool.
by the way.
Okay, get comfy. I'm going to look at your techniques.
Because if you're going to be boring, at least be comfortable being a piece of shit.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Dude, you've got a fucking great voice for this stuff.
Oh, thanks, man.
I was listening to your one with Brent, and I was like, that dude has got such a good voice.
Thanks, man. It's
it's resonant. It's playful.
Playful.
Hey, coming from the guy with the most infectious voice, I mean.
Well, thank you very much, love. Thank you.
Now, you have to know, I think all people, not necessarily just from the UK, but from anywhere that has an accent, when they come to the U.S., you know how much we love accents. You know the power that you have over us.
I can't believe how much of a novelty it is in the States for
right?
people to have a different accent.
Yeah.
It must. I think it happens to me at least 5 times a day. Someone's like, oh, hello, David. How are you doing? Do you want a cup of tea?
It's
Mary
probably
Poppins.
That thing.
Yeah.
Does that bother you? That
Do you know the Queen? I don't mind
do you?
I don't. I do actually. I do. She's an ex.
Yeah.
It doesn't. The accent doesn't bother me. It's the material.
It's always
a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Always.
Is there a different stereotype we can insert?
Fuck. I don't know.
Start making popular. Mary Poppins. That was my go-to, and I feel like that's a very.
It's solid, yeah.
And it reminds you of a good time. Though. It reminds you when the world was in a great place.
Yeah, it's sure. comforting. Yeah.
Yeah. Clinton was about to be president.
Wait, what?
Well, hang on.
I'm just talking about America in general when Mary Poppins came out.
Adam's got to go back and consult his history book
president.
A little bit.
Hey, you know what? I didn't say I knew a lot about history. I just know things happened.
Thank God you got that voice.
NWA were breaking.
I'm pretty sure Kennedy just got shot. It was a weird time.
The Super Soaker just came out.
Kennedy into Clinton, wasn't it?
Yeah. Pretty sure that happened.
Yeah.
So do you get... Do you get asked to do an American accent a lot?
Yeah, I do. I actually, when I auditioned for Undateable, my agent was he was trying to convince me to go into the room pretending to be American, mm-hmm. and I really didn't want to fucking do it because I was like, I'm walking in and I'm lying to them like off the bat. He's like, nah, just do it for this one, just do it. And it was the first one that I tried it, and I fooled him.
Really?
I fooled him, yeah. I pretended to be American and I fooled him.
When did you reveal? When was the big ta-da?
The casting director knew.
Okay.
Brett Brenner, he knew. Yeah. And because I met him the day before and he was talking about doing it as well. And then at the end, he was like, okay, David, you can come out of your accent now.
Wait. Give me some of the...
What do you
I guess just give me American.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So what would be... Now, when people ask... which, by the way, that was such a just
I always
piece
go to
of
Ohio
shit American
for some reason.
Give me American, yeah. You fucking Brit.
Speak English in this country.
Dance, wait, theater monkey.
No, but like, what would
listen,
be the-
my name is Donald Trump. I'm running for president. You're in this country. Speak American.
Give me American is what I said.
I'm
give
going
me American.
That, honestly, I'm going if that happens.
Me too?
Trump, yeah.
Oh, I've already convinced myself of that.
Yeah, I was at a meeting today with a publicist, and he said that he's looking at buying in Canada just in preparation for...
Holy shit, yeah. Man.
He got a Canadian visa and everything. He's
there's like a bunch of people just like... Kind of like how there's doomsday preppers.
Yeah.
There's Trump preppers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got granola bars, water, and a place in Belgium all ready to go.
If it happens, which it could.
Oh,
but so what is the go-to, like... Like when you said a cup of tea, like yeah. What would be the go-to American?
Well, I guess the thing they used it on Undateable actually. It was it's like hey, let's go eat some cheeseburgers and buy some houses we can't afford.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, yeah.
That's unbelievable. Like it.
Why are we so turned on by that?
I don't. What, cheeseburgers or houses
because,
we can't afford?
Because you guys suck at the British accent.
Yeah.
You don't know, Adam, because I listened to your voicemail earlier, and you did Johnny Depp and Pirates of the Caribbean.
I appreciate
and
that.
It's pretty strong, man.
Thanks, man.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you've heard my Mokkelkine.
There we go.
But if you heard my Mokkelkine, it's also pretty solid. I'd like to think it's halfway decent. No. Damn it.
Wow. He's done it a lot on this podcast. That might be the last time because he got the official ruling.
Well, because I've never done it in front of an actual British person. Yeah, yeah. They kind of look at me and be like, eh.
Okay,
eh.
I'm just trying to think what's wrong with it. Do it again.
Let's do a contest where we do both of the voices at the same time. We'll all do Johnny and you do Michael Caine.
So you do Johnny Depp.
So I'm doing Johnny Depp.
And but you're now doing Johnny Depp at the same time as doing Michael. You're kind of...
But then I'm doing Michael Caine. I'm doing the guy from the Kingsman.
No, I want to be the...
I'm Alfred the Butler.
Welcome back to Who's More British.
You're going to cop that mic right there. That mic is about the size of a tangerine.
You hold that microphone like a bottle of whiskey.
Another episode of Who's More British.
Wait, but so what would be like? Okay, so the cheeseburger thing—that's because that's just a typical American.
Yeah, it's. I always if I do do it, I like to do something to make fun of.
Well,
of
sure.
It as well. Yeah, you know the cab at sea. So you know, like.
Yeah, you kind of got to do that version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
To get back at us, have you heard? How quickly did Chris D'Elia do his British voice to you? Because you know, it's. I don't know how much of his stand-up you've seen, but that was one of his early and. You know, most popular bits.
I saw that before I met him, actually, and I was like, "Oh God, I'm in trouble." Yeah. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Here. He did it. Actually, the first week of Undateable, he did something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was. I made a really. I was so nervous around those guys. I was so nervous.
Really? Why?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you thought Chris was going to try to fuck?
Well,
him.
I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah.
Because I was in a new country.
Yes.
And I'd never done a show in the States before.
How long had you been in the States before you got the show?
I came out for pilot season that year, and I did 2 weeks of pilot season.
Holy shit. Dude.
And then I got an episode of Sherlock that I had to fly back for.
Which is like the greatest show
ever. Oh, man.
Ever.
Dude, I was more pumped about knowing the secret about him falling off the building.
Right.
Than being in the show.
Right.
Whoa, wait, what?
He's not going to go into the secret, but watch Sherlock on Netflix.
It's in season. It's on season three. The
fucking
original.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's the greatest show like ever.
It's the best.
I love that show.
It's the best TV show I think we've done in the UK for a long time.
Wow. Yeah, it's like the UK Breaking Bad. It's so good.
Okay,
And it stars Benedict Cumberbatch.
Love that guy.
Who's just
and Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, I mean I don't know
Bilbo Baggins.
I don't know his real name, so just Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, Martin Freeman.
That guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a UK Tom Cruise or UK like who's your guys' equivalent of like?
Oh, Jesus, that's a really good question.
Well, I love that I just said Tom Cruise without even batting an eye. But you know what? He is one of the greatest American actors ever.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Right. This is funny that you went into this actually because this is an eternal debate between me and some of my friends about is Tom Cruise a good actor?
Oh well, here's what I'll say, and maybe I should have followed that statement up by saying,
okay.
Up until about I don't know 5-6 years ago, because I think Rain Man, Jerry Maguire,
yeah.
Top Gun, Few Good Men.
I was the
Last Samurai.
I was the one guy that liked Cocktail.
Dude, I love Cocktail. That's,
thank you.
That's in my top three cruise films.
Thank you.
100%.
I love that
Minority
movie.
Report.
Minority Report.
Is yeah. Unfucking real. So, okay, so you know what, though? I actually would put, I think Sam Rockwell is maybe a better actor than yeah. Tom Cruise.
I'd agree with that.
Okay, great.
Sam Rockwell's the, he's like if Tom Cruise did indie movies.
Yeah, you're right.
Through his 30s. Yep.
Yeah. Also, shit, man, Jeff Bridges.
What are we doing? Are we naming actors that you like?
Is that what we're doing? Sally Field. No. Who is the Sally
it's
Field
like the start
of
a movie.
The UK?
Jeff Bridges. Sally Field.
Jeff Bridges, Sally Field, and Brent Morin. In, why is Brent Morin here?
The Brent Morin story.
The Brent Morin story. No. Who's the equivalent? So you have this debate a lot.
Our Sally Field, in the fact that you think she's one of the greatest screen actresses.
I think so, actually. Yeah. I just said that pretty name good. In jest, but I think it's pretty spot on.
She was in Mrs. Doubtfire. That puts her up there.
She said
that
before,
was a beautiful performance.
Yeah. Exactly.
Unbelievable.
I mean, to play opposite Brosnan and hold your own is kind of...
Yeah. Wait, well, then would it be Brosnan?
But Brosnan, I wouldn't put Brosnan in there. I saw him in Malibu, actually.
Oh, really?
That dude has skin like a table. It's, yeah.
Is that
he's
a,
been in
wait,
the sun a lot.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, he just looks like he's been in the sun a lot.
Oh, okay. Boy. Yeah.
Well, he's James Bond.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. He was in Malibu. That's his name.
He was on the beaches a lot, you know, having a lot of sex, drinking a lot of cocktails.
Yeah.
So kudos to you, Pierce.
Yeah, yeah.
Kudos
good
to
on
you, Pierce
good
Brosnan.
On him. Your Sally Field question, there's an actress called Olivia Colman who I think can hold her own against, I think, anyone in the world.
Yeah. What about Emily
Watson?
Yes. Or
Blunt.
Or the Blunt.
Yeah, Blunt. Or then there's another one.
Thompson.
Shit. Emma Thompson. Yeah, she's great too. God damn it. She was in one of the Mission Impossible movies. Brunette hair.
Tandy Newton?
She's very popular and very famous.
Tandy Newton.
Emily
Blunt, isn't it?
Yeah, but name another young female actress from
Welcome back to Name That Brit here on the About Last Night podcast.
Hey, fuck you, Brad. You just talked yourself out of a producer credit.
I feel like you should be doing
Michelle, all of this.
Michelle.
She's got some interesting, not bad teeth, but like a little, like, not character.
Go.
No, this,
here
no.
We
no,
go.
She's very pretty. Oh. She's, and brunette, fuck, what was.
Is it Emily something?
No.
Which Mission Impossible?
The third one?
Oh, fuck, I haven't seen it.
No, goddamn. I'll figure it out later. Anyway,
right. Yeah.
Just who would be the, like, if you were like, this is it Patrick Stewart? I mean, is that just...
Oh, fucking Patrick Stewart, love. That's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah. Okay, so he's in a different category.
He's
a kettle
master,
of fish.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a master. You don't use kettle of fish here.
No, we don't.
Of a different color. Or we use... That's a...
I don't know for that.
Needle in a haystack.
Completely different topic. I don't know.
Two birds is worth a
finger up the ass. Yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
Up the ass.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to get back to you saying how nervous you were when you got
shit,
on set.
Yeah.
Is it because these guys are stand-ups?
It was because new country, new experience, and they all knew each other really well.
Right.
Not only did Chris, Brent, and Rick all know each other from before. But also, they were all tight from the pilot because I didn't do the pilot.
That's
originally.
Right. That's what I remember. I remember because when I went in for it, they were like, "Oh,
What part did you?"
Originally, I went for Chris's part.
Yeah,
and actually, I was about to
because they were kind of going a Jack Black way with it for a while.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I remember talking to Brent, being like, "Oh man!" And he was like, "Dude, I'm so pumped! Like you know, coming in and like, you know, I'll put in a good word." And because I was about to go read for Bill Lawrence, I read for the. Adam
Stakeel, yeah.
And another dude.
Jeff Ingold.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
they all look like kind of blonde kind of gods, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, they're just very attractive men who don't look much younger than we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're older. But they probably...
And very rich.
And very rich.
Well, sure, that helps.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, and then he's like, oh, I think Chris is, they're going to, you know, because that was when Whitney and then... And it was one of the things, too, when I hear it and I go... Can't be mad. That makes total sense. And like,
that happens to me all the time, man.
You know,
like, you get close to something, and they're like, you know, being a chunky guy, I get all the time. They're like, well, they really like you, but Jonah Hill's, you know, he's on the list, or
and he's
kind of
and he's an Academy Award nominated actor. Yeah. Which, since I've seen Superbad, and since I love Superbad, it sounds really weird to say Jonah Hill Academy Award nominated actor, but hey, it's true.
And that doesn't mean he's better, by the way. You know, like it's just goes to show you, like sometimes that stuff just like where you lose parts because like that guy's hot now, or that's, or the name or
you're just trying to say that because David got the part and you didn't.
So, oh,
wow,
so funny.
Nicely like done, sir. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, oh, you know, it doesn't mean
that's
you're
not
better
at all
per se.
I was saying, fuck both of you. All right.
So nervous. Oh yeah, and because they all knew each other, they were, including from the pilot, Bianca was there as well, and they were all tight. But also because they were so quick.
Yeah,
so quick. Just not just in scenes and stuff, but just sitting around and
bantering.
Yeah, and I'd worked with stand-ups before, but it was only ever one or two, but never four at once.
It's a lot, and right? And when you get that many in a room, as you've found out now, it's like we're all playing a game of like,
yeah,
can you top this? And then exactly, we're all trying to top each other and be that guy.
Yeah,
top each other, but then also just when you have that like such ease of camaraderie,
yeah,
you just know you have similar sensibilities, and so you're just always. When you talk about something that's there's a common bond, you end up joking about stuff every other couple minutes because you're just, you know each other's idiosyncrasies so
yeah,
well that you're just
good word.
Thank you.
So I thought you were gonna say mums. We don't know each other's mums so well.
Well, wait, is that
Ellie DeLeer is
mums, not mums. The shitty wine that you can get from BevMo. Mums.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Is that an actual wine?
It's a Mom's. Pretend champagne, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
it,
a pretend right? champagne,
yeah.
I don't know jack about wine, but okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that's because smelling the bottle would get you fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
It's
true.
Two beer bread.
Right.
No tolerance.
No boozing.
Nothing.
Well, he boozes.
But
so
then
a beer?
Two beers and I'm drunk.
Oh, man.
Isn't that great?
Wow.
I mean, like...
The money this guy is saving.
Oh, like... if I, because I went to the UK and to Scotland and to Ireland when I was a kid, but never like of legal drinking age.
Right.
So I wouldn't last a week there. I'd be dead in 3 days.
From the age of 16 upwards, it's until you're kind of working and you can't do it anymore.
Right.
I mean, I know this is certainly true for me and my friends. It's all about boozing.
Yeah.
It's such a booze culture.
Well, that and it's like just we have a bar, but. Bar culture here isn't the same as the pub. The pub is like the hangout. It's
yeah,
the
yeah.
place where everyone goes.
Yeah.
And it like every town kind of has their pub, or like every block has their pub.
Yeah.
And like
it's just cooler.
We just don't have that here.
Yeah. It's kind of most people, I would say, have a night over the week, either the Friday or Saturday, where they get fucked up. It's
right.
Like they have to have a big night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I moved to Ireland when I was 15 for a year, and at the start of the year, I could drink maybe two cans, and by the end, I was drinking, I could do 8 pints in a night.
Wow!
By my 16th birthday.
What?
8 pints,
that
man.
Would kill me.
Yeah.
Like,
that's 4 times.
Yeah, I think I only have 8 pints of blood in my entire body. So the fact that you drink 8 pints in a night.
Yeah.
Is it
so
gross.
Shit. So
gross.
It's I mean, there's no... they won't kick out a 16-year-old from a pub, huh? Or is it just...
Well, I mean, I lived in Ireland, and this was kind of when, you know, there was a... It was a relatively small town.
Mm-hmm.
So, they didn't. Yeah, they did. They cared less, for sure.
Yeah.
They've become a bit more strict now, but like back then, yeah, they didn't care. I mean, that's 16, 17 years ago now, depressingly.
Wow. And then at 16, were you doing any kind of acting back then, or had you even thought about it?
I did it when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
At school and stuff. But then I gave it up, obviously, because when you're 13, it's super gay.
Wait, now, who told you that?
It just generally.
Other kids.
Yeah, okay. Other kids. Yeah,
yeah.
My dad.
Now, were you doing...
Your dad?
Now, were you doing the puppetry of the penis? Is that why you thought it was gay? And you
yeah.
were like... They were like, the only show... The first show I did was with a bunch of guys doing weird puppet yo-yo tricks
yeah.
with their cocks.
When I was yeah. 11.
When then I found out it wasn't even a play.
Yeah.
yeah.
Weird birthday party.
Wow, no. So everyone thought it was super gay when you were 13. You showed them
yeah.
because you grew up and turned out to play a gay guy on
yeah.
TV.
And now that's what's going to... that's my most defining role.
Fuck you, friends back home.
Yeah.
Mwah.
They've
like
got.
That.
Do they get Undateable over there?
The UK are getting it as of next week.
Holy shit, dude.
Which is fucking great.
Yeah, that's great for you.
Deal, dude.
Thank you.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's great because I've been away for 2 years and it's kind of like it's kind of like I vanished off the side of the fucking earth and no one's seen me do anything. So
sure.
It's nice that they go, oh, that's where he's gone.
Also, it's a really funny show. So they're going to
yeah.
be like...
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, man. The live thing is going to be incredible in my eyes.
Yeah.
What do I know about shit, but I know you guys... And I know how great that live episode was.
Oh, man.
And I know how game-changing...
Insane.
I know how game-changing something like this is for... man, TV doesn't take a lot of risks. And yeah. This is a big risk, and it's gonna be awesome. I was
really surprised they gave us the full season. I mean, it's great, but it was
full season alive. You mean?
Yeah, yeah. Because like you said, it's such a risk, and it's such a kind of it could make or break it, and it's. I mean, it sounds like the X Factor, doesn't it?
I love that you said that because I love that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brent loves the British X Factor.
He does.
Oh, doesn't he? That's yeah. He does a bit about it.
Yeah.
I don't have any shoes. Yeah. What's your name?
I don't have a name.
Yeah. He starts crying. It's so great.
Yeah.
But it's such a throwback because, I mean, there was a time when everything was live.
Yeah.
And it was totally unpredictable. And now we're going back to that. And NBC especially, because you guys are going live, and then Neil Patrick Harris,
NPH, yeah.
Best time ever, he's going to be live.
Yeah.
And I really like that, because, yeah. I mean...
There's only been one show, Saturday Night Live. Like, I mean, and yeah. Anytime there's a slip-up, people fucking love it.
Yeah.
Not that you should strive for that, but I feel like, you know, like...
The clips that I watch the most are kind of SNL, like the Debbie Downer ones where they all start going. And,
so funny.
And anything where Jimmy Fallon's in it.
Yeah.
Because he's going to start laughing at anything.
I mean, Brent's
like
the Jimmy Fallon of... Totally. Yeah. Just in terms of laughing, not in terms of ability.
Yeah. Let's be clear.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be absolutely clear about that.
The dude messed up his first line in the live show.
Did he really?
Yeah.
For the East Coast or the West Coast?
For the East Coast.
Okay, I didn't watch that
one. He might not like me saying this.
No. Oh, yeah?
So the line was, him and Chris were talking about their eyes and how beautiful their eyes were. And Chris was like, Brent was like, oh, I don't know what you're saying with those brown mud buckets. And this is coming from a guy with eyes so blue, they make the sky jealous. That was the line. But Brent went, and this is coming from a guy with eyes so high they can... They can touch the sky.
That was your American Brent too. I love that.
I've been working on a Brent impression actually.
Have you really?
It's a great one.
It's not quite there yet. That wasn't it. That wasn't it. But
well, we need to hear
it
somewhere.
It's more like here. It's a
Kermit the Frog.
Kind of towards Kermit. I think he's got a bit of a.
He kind of does actually. Yeah.
I love it.
By the way, Brent, 5-time the record holder of appearances on the About Last Night podcast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Hey. Does he booze when he's here?
Yeah. I was. Yeah. I love that I even had to think about it, but yeah.
Yeah, he
the
does.
One time that he almost didn't, he had walked because his phone died and he couldn't get an Uber, and he was going to meet me here, and he didn't want to tell me no, so he walked all the way from somewhere, came in sweating, and he was like, I can't have a drink. Yeah, fuck it, pour me a drink. You know, what am I doing? Jesus, Brent, get a hold of yourself. Fuck
he's
it, whatever.
Like,
you know,
like, I'm not drinking. Dude, I'm not drinking. Tonight. Yeah. And then as soon as you go, do you want to drink? He's like, oh, fuck it, he's straight
he's
in.
He's so fun when he drinks. He's so fun regardless, but when the guy's holding a little glass of something, man, there's an extra twinkle in his eye.
There's always a danger to a night. Like, we went out, so we did the Paley Fest a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, how'd they go?
And I was like, it was great. Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. Chris went off the fucking, off the rails, man. It was so funny.
How do you mean?
He was just like, if they ask me dumb questions, I'm just going to go. We did the comedy tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to all the affiliates, and everywhere we went, people were going, so what makes you undateable? Or what makes a person undateable?
Yeah,
and Chris was like, watch what I do if they ask me what makes a person undateable.
He's fearless, dude. I love it.
And they asked him, like, off the bat, and he put his legs in the air, and he was going, poopy. Like, just amazing.
And this is for...
7 a.m. Atlanta, Georgia.
For affiliates.
Yeah.
That are carrying your show.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I love the most about the guy. He just, like, he's, like you said, fearless.
Yeah.
Brent told us a story that you guys were doing, like, social media training. And and someone like said, "Now, Chris, this is a bad tweet."
Yeah.
And then took
about
some
his own tweet.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And then took someone else's tweets. Like, now, if you had done this, this is like a better example. And then he like laid into the person. Or
he was like, "What was it?" He was like, "Oh, it kind of looks like I got more tweets than
more retweets." Yeah.
So okay. So who was the person they?
I have no idea. Yeah, it was an NBC course that said like where they're teaching you how to do social media.
Those are great, man.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, those are great. Do you know what the most fun one is the
sexual harassment one?
Sexual harassment.
Oh yeah. Those are good.
Jeez, say it more like a pervert, Brad. Jesus.
Well, you love the sexual harassment training.
Can you get sexual harassment for sexual harassing the idea about the sexual harassment course?
Oh God, I hope so.
God.
It literally turns into a bunch of schoolboys at those things.
Giggling, right?
Oh man.
So funny.
And Rick asking the dumbest questions.
Like what?
Just to make everyone laugh.
So, you know, if I say pussy like really loud, just stuff like that.
You guys are just dying laughing.
I could be talking about a cat. I don't know if that's a specific thing, but it's stuff like that where he'll push the boat and the people have to take it seriously. It's their job to take it seriously.
Well, and then I'm sure with all those comedians in a room, and I'm sure the person who was running the course was the most not funny, no sense of humor, stick up the ass.
Yeah.
And then like I'm sure everyone was just trying to get them to break, like trying to get that person.
And
the crew
are all like they all love it as well when they see like Rick being a dick to them. And
really,
that's great.
Oh yeah.
How was it?
Yeah, sexual harassment. Crisis, I love that.
So then, all right. So you get to the States and you're out of your element because of just a new country thing. And then the show.
Yeah. The boys. Yeah. And like I said, the boys were they're so quick. And it took me 2 or 3 weeks to kind of loosen up a bit. 2 or 3 shows, to even join in on the improv, it took me a couple of weeks.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Do you have a background in that at all?
Not a background, but I've done a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
A lot of TV comedy, and I've always been the kind of person to add lines onto the end of a scene and stuff, and just because I think, you know, you leave a little beat for them to cut away and then you put in a little extra stuff, and if they like it, then, you know,
And that's one of the things I love about the show is that they tend to design that show to allow you guys to have fun.
Yeah.
They encourage it.
Yeah, and I think now they've learned to structure it around that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the page count is now becoming like lighter and lighter.
It's like, all right, we have 3 pages of actual script, and then you guys just have fun.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Because there's so much.
Towards the end of the last season, Bill was saying, "Oh, we're gonna start kind of shaving off a page or two for the script."
Now, how is that going to affect the live tapings? Because you do have to be a little more. Things are time sensitive. You got to cut away to a commercial break at this time.
It's much more rigorous in rehearsal. Mm-hmm. So whereas usually in rehearsal we're kind of in for a couple of hours on a Monday, a couple on a Tuesday, and then we don't do a real full day until Thursday. So they're all full days now because every beat has to be bang on and every cutaway has to be perfect. And there's a clock. There's a big red clock that you can see in the corner. And
there's always being
there's a guy counting you in like in Wayne's World. Where he's like 5, 4.
What a great reference, by the way. Yeah, where's that dude, by the way?
Yeah,
that actual actor. Who knows? But like. Are they still allowing for improv with the live?
Oh yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, it's more structured, but it's kind of go nuts within that structure.
Sure.
You know, they still, you know, Chris and Brent do a bit, you let us do a bit, but don't go on for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Did you see the West Coast?
Yes.
Did you see when Scott Foley went really dark?
I saw it, but I'm trying to remember it.
So there was what he was trying to do was the gag was that Scott Foley's got such beautiful eyes he can get anyone to do anything.
Yeah, right.
So in the East Coast feed it was take me to the airport, drop off my rental, and Chris is like, okay. In the West Coast one, he was like, get on your knees, open your mouth, tilt your head back, and like Bill's by the monitor, just like. Yeah, we were all just like hands on our fucking heads.
That's right. And then Chris, but then Chris did it.
Chris did it, but Chris kind of saved it because if Chris got on his knees and faced Scott, then it would have been he's insinuating.
But
what he did was he opened it out and he faced the cameras and Scott was like he was in profile to Scott.
Right.
So he kind of
so it was just like a funny like you're just obeying my command.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So Chris not, kind of
thank God.
Yeah.
Holy Chris kind of shit. Saved
it. Yeah. Great instincts. Yeah.
What would. I mean, I don't know what the ramifications
would. I don't know what I would have done. I wouldn't have thought of that. I'd have probably sucked him off.
Like, well,
yeah.
I guess this is how you keep a show on the air. You got to suck off Scott Foley.
You give Scott Foley what he wants. That's one thing I was told when I came to the States.
In the UK, they're like, whatever happened to Dave Finn? And then there he is, sucking Scott Foley's dick.
Live TV.
Yeah.
Where in the UK did you start even getting beginnings of acting? Or like, were you a funny kid in school?
I wouldn't say I was a funny. I don't know if I was particularly funny. I was definitely immature.
Yeah,
I was so fucking dumb, like so childish. So you know, whole classes were just about kind of taking the piss.
That was just an audience. Yeah. You were disruptive all the time because you were.
But our group of friends were the clowns, I guess. And there were a group of really tough kids. So we were kind of like the second kind of popular guys, I'd say.
Yeah.
And the really tough kids kind of gave us, you know, they were like, ah, they're okay, they're funny. They're funny, they're okay. Right? So it was kind of cool, man. Like in high school, it was...
Yeah, the respect in the backs of the tough kids.
Yeah.
But the...
You still wouldn't fuck with them.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You still get the shit beat out of you, but if you make them laugh, you're good.
What was the name of the main tough kid? Do you remember?
Oh, man.
Like, was there a leader? Like the Danny Zuko of the fucking Sharks?
There was actually... there was a kid called Adrian Green, who was just a monster of a kid. He was like 6'3" and like... I don't know when he was like 12.
Yeah.
Just huge.
Those kids.
But there was a kid called Ebenezer as well.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, still?
Yeah.
Wait, are you sure this wasn't a teacher?
No. It was a kid called Ebenezer.
Who the fuck names their kid Ebenezer unless it's like he's going to play Scrooge in the play?
Yeah.
He's going to have to.
Or we're going to have a really tough kid who like fucking.
Boy named Sue, I guess.
It's amazing. Yeah. Is it sure? I mean, did you get a nickname out of that?
Eben.
Eben sounds
boring.
Like, Eben sounds like the side dish on a like a sushi menu.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll have the Eben. Oh, good choice.
So he was the leader.
He was one of them.
Now, how? At what point did you? Were you funny? Where like your family or like?
Yeah. I always used to kind of do impressions for my mum and stuff to kind of get out of getting in trouble. And there was a TV show in the UK. It was like the Harry Enfield. He was like my hero when I was a kid. I actually worked with him last year, which was fucking
holy
amazing.
Shit.
Yeah, it's like to me that was like working with someone like
Sally Field,
Belushi, or
yeah. Oh, okay. Like, I mean, sure,
he wasn't dead, but you know, Aykroyd or
wait, I mean, it'd be way more impressive if you did work with Belushi right now.
Yeah.
Wait, so he was like the Belushi for
yeah, he was like the biggest kind of sketch comedy guy like when I was a kid.
Oh, wow. What was that? I mean, call day like?
Harry Enfield and Chums. Yeah, and then I worked with him.
You were a chum?
I was a chum, no. I worked with him last year at like a charity gala.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you say anything to him?
It was terrifying. He was actually, when we were in the dressing room, there was a load of us in the dressing room. There was like a load of famous people in there. So I was just like, what the fuck am I doing here? And there was this really quite well-known pop star talking on one side of this table, and he couldn't see Harry. And Harry was looking at me, and he was like doing impressions of him behind him, like pulling out his ears and... I was like, he's just a kid. He's like 55, 60 now. He's just a fucking childish.
And he's just still, kid. Just still
doing it. Yeah. Playful. And I for sure want to be like that when I'm an old man.
Yeah. It's also inspiring to see that too, of a guy that you were that infatuated with to still be doing
just
it.
Playing. Yeah.
Like when Chappelle's, you know, my favorite comic. When I first saw him in 2003, it was my sophomore year of college at the Comedy Store. And it was right when Chappelle's show had come out. And it was just like unbelievable. The show was so great. His stand-up was great. And I saw him at Radio City Music Hall last year. And it was, I mean, fuck, what, 12 years later, and it was like as incredible, if not
just
more
as good.
No, unbelievable. And it was so like, you know, how often do you get daily inspired? Like something really where, you know, where a hero of yours, like just, you know, you put him up on this pedestal and he stays there.
Yeah.
You know? Then I end up smoking a joint with him that night at his hotel because we somehow befriended his opener and like just lingered around for a while, whatever. But like seeing him do his thing and still be so great was, it was incredible. So like that's a big moment to see.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of the same thing. You know, I was always into comedy when I was a kid and working with him was pretty sick.
Well, along those lines of talking about our heroes, you've worked with one of mine. And I need stories.
Okay.
I need stories about Willow himself, Warwick Davis.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I need Willow stories.
Yeah, I need freaking Willow stories. And you talk about missing out parts, and I don't think I've ever said this on this podcast before, but it got down to me and the kid that played Willow's son, and I lost it.
Oh, no.
To the kid that played Willow's son.
And he's just dining out on I'm fucking Willow's son.
But he's never worked again in this business, so who's laughing now, Mark?
Yeah.
Who's laughing now?
Fuck that guy. I don't know him. He's probably a really nice guy.
He is. Yeah.
Warwick Davis is, he's really nice.
Yeah,
really
nice. How'd you work with him?
I did, actually, with another one of my comedy heroes, Ricky Gervais, I did Life's Too Short.
You were on that show?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I loved that show.
I was the Star Wars groom. Where Warwick Davis ruins the wedding.
Holy shit, yes you were.
Yeah.
Okay, it's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, it was... So, Warwick Davis was cool. He got around set on a mini Segway that was designed just for him.
I love that.
Which is kind of cool.
Well, I mean, I feel like as a dwarf, we can do stuff like that, and we don't look douchey. Like, if you were like, bring me my Segway to go around the Undateable set, everyone's like, what the fuck is David
doing? Fuck Flynn.
Fuck Flynn.
Yeah.
But then, like, if I'm on a set and I go, bring me my Segway, they're like, oh, okay, he probably needs that.
He's
fine.
Yeah, he's okay.
It's adorable.
Yeah, that and you see a dwarf go by in a Segway, you're like, well.
That's fucking cool.
This is a great day.
Yeah.
No matter what happens in the day.
I need to play the lottery.
This is a win for me.
Yeah, it was amazing. Seeing him get away on his little Segway, and it was just kind of because we were getting into the car to go from location back to the trailers,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, "Are you getting in?" He was like, "No. I'm going to go myself." And I was like, oh, "He's not going to walk, is he?" And then someone appears with a Segway, and he's like,
"That's too many steps. He can't possibly walk."
And he's gone.
He'll get back sometime tomorrow. That's not good.
Was Peck engraved on his Segway?
Was what?
That's a Willow reference.
Yeah.
Peck. Oh, right. I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Peck is what they call the dwarves. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. And him and Matt Morgan. Oh, my God. I once met Val Kilmer at the gas station right down here. I was waiting to go on to do open mic night at the Laugh Factory, and Val Kilmer pulls into the gas station right across the street from the Laugh Factory. And just by chance, two other dwarf friends of mine were there that night
to see
me do stand-up. So we all, like, our faces just light up like, holy shit, Val Kilmer! And we just run across the street, and we just... And
does he run away? Does he think he's being attacked?
I thought that was a movie. This is real.
It's real.
He was like on mushrooms or something.
Yeah, but, like, we run across the street, like, five cars stop and people get out and start taking pictures and shit. They see three dwarves running across the street. They're like, this has to be something.
Hey, where's the other four?
Yeah, exactly. So then we just run up to Val. We're like, that's like a Willow reunion. And God bless him. He was like, you know what? Guys, let's take a great picture together. He said, let's take a picture. So we all got into his convertible. And we're all in his convertible, and he takes out a camera out of the glove box. He's like, I need this for myself. And like the gas station attendant comes out, takes a couple pictures. It was fantastic.
I've never heard that story before.
I'd love to see the opening credits of Entourage, but done like that. You know when they're in the convertible.
Oh my God! Yeah, they're taking a while. Yeah. They're taking a while to get out of that car.
Yeah. You guys are all like tripping over.
We're all driving it, and like I'm driving. Then all of a sudden, you see my face go wide. I go, "Hey guys, this car doesn't have pedal extenders." What? Fuck!
And any shots from the side, you just see Val Kilmer, and then three just like half heads at the top.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Oh, so as you can tell,
that's amazing.
Willow's a big part of my life.
Yeah.
So the fact that you got to work with Warwick is awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. And it was, I mean, to work with Ricky Gervais as well, because
I was just gonna say,
The Office for me is the best comedy I think I've experienced as an adult. I think, and actually, probably one of my favorite moments of any kind of acting I've done was in that. He said to me, right, just on this bit, let's say Warwick's doing a speech and then he fucks up your wedding. And so what I want you to do is, you know, like in the office, you know, you just like look down the camera, like you're kind of pissed off and you're like, oh, he's ruined it. I was like, yeah, cool, I can do that. And then he went off into another room to the monitors and stuff.
He directs all the episodes too.
So him and Stephen Merchant directed it, yeah.
Wow. That's so great.
Which was amazing because they were such a good team.
Like, yeah.
Ricky, well, when I was there anyway, certainly Ricky kind of worked with the actors and performance, and Stephen was more about the kind of the shot and the kind of technical mm-hmm. side of things. But yes, he was like, yeah, look. So just he says that, and then you just look down the barrel of the lens, and I was like, yeah, cool. So we do the scene, and Warwick does the speech that ruins the wedding, and then I kind of look deflated into the camera, and as I do it, I just hear
that laugh.
From the other room, and I was like, "That's it!
Oh my God!
That's
a stamp of approval!"
Yeah,
yeah, man.
And knowing that, like, that's so cool that you were familiar with that.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to explain it. He said, "Hey, do that thing like we did in the office." You're like, "Okay, I know that."
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that Martin Freeman kind of looked down the barrel. Brilliant.
It's so great, and then just to hear that laugh probably just made you feel.
It was amazing. I nearly cried. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, and then like how you did that. His laugh is so distinct. Yes. Like you know it. So it's not like you heard a group of people laughing and then he came up to you afterward like, oh no, I thought it was funny. No, you knew.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais thinks you're funny.
And he wasn't like, he wasn't laughing at people, you know, like how some directors are kind of like, that was so funny.
Just to make you feel good.
They don't mean it, yeah, to make you feel good. Like, he'd only laugh when he found something funny, and it was...
He seems like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I love the thing he did at the Emmys where he was just being a presenter. And he said, and he's brilliant. Like, yeah, he's like, but people don't care about this. They're not going to know that I didn't win. So let's just pretend I did. And he has a guy bring him out an Emmy.
Brilliant.
And he starts crying and like giving a fake speech.
That's so cool.
And
just like making fun of the, dude, it was
so great.
Did you see that woman at the Emmys this week where she, I can't remember what the category was, but she wasn't famous.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't like a beautiful kind of
the
young
short
woman.
Redhead woman who was a writer. Yeah.
And like, it was like she was on stage for about 40 seconds doing a speech.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I got to go. Oh, no. I was like, the fuckers.
Yeah.
Just because she's not a hot young girl.
Right. Yeah. So they give her 40 seconds.
What,
it's inconsistent for
my,
sure.
My favorite Ricky Gervais thing that he did when he was hosting was the Mel Gibson joke.
Yes. In front of Mel Gibson.
Oh, man.
Like to do that.
And Mel Gibson walking on next to him as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, remind me of that moment.
So the joke was... he's holding a beer because he always, when he does stand up, he's always got a beer on the go.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. This is when he's hosting the Golden Globes.
Golden Globes, that's it.
Want some water?
No, I'm good, man. Thank you. And he goes, "What? I'm just having a drink. You know, I like a drink as much as the next man, unless the next man is Mel Gibson." Everyone.
And this is like right after all the shit with him that gone
getting
down.
Drunk and saying Jews aren't real or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever.
Jews aren't real.
Whatever the fuck he said.
It was, hey, oh, Mel, I've seen him.
Live in the flesh, baby.
It happens.
Wow. Yeah, he is, it's always awesome to me when guys not from here get really popular.
Yeah.
You know? And infiltrate the comedy scene like that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, not that America's like protective over, you know, their comedy stars or whatever, because it's like funny is funny. But like, I don't know, like name how many who aren't American are like comedy stars in America, you know?
David Finn.
Well, obviously.
Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis.
That's it.
John Cleese.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what?
But he doesn't live here. But I think you're right, certainly. I think James Corden's kind of starting to do well for himself.
Totally. Yeah. That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
For the late night game, for sure. And just for comedy in general, because it's like, I mean, has there ever been a non-American late night host?
The one Ferguson. He replaced.
Other than Ferguson.
Than Ferguson, who was Scottish. But there's not been an English one.
Did you like Ferguson?
We don't really do the late night thing in the UK.
You do.
We have our own chat. We've got Graham Norton, who's great.
I love him.
He had a show on Comedy Central like 8-9 years ago.
Yeah, it just didn't translate.
I wish it, because I see clips on YouTube all the time of like Will Smith will go on there. Then
Will Smith, Sandra Bullock, and George Clooney. Yeah, and they'll do some. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
He has amazing names.
They'll do great stuff. I know Will did a rap. Of like he rapped the Fresh Prince theme song, and just kind of improvised it. And as a kid from the 80s and 90s, I'm just sitting there going, "Hey, Will Smith doing the song."
His son did it as well, and that ruined it for me. Did you see that?
Oof. His son did anything, and it ruined it for me.
Fuck, dude.
Sorry, Jaden, but
sorry if I ever work with Will Smith. I mean,
the first thing I'm going to say to him is, "Hey, man, fuck your kid."
I mean, don't fuck him, but
in that voice too, fuck your kid.
It's just that, like,
you're being kind of racist as well.
No, man, that's just my character. You're right. I got to think this through.
Yeah.
I got to pick a better
action. Did you see that interview that Willow and Jaden did?
No.
And they were like, the interviewer was like, so you're quite young. And they were like, young doesn't mean anything. We can change time. We have that ability. And
okay, that's some fucking
real
Scientology shit.
Yeah, real kind of.
We can change time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean,
fluid. We can change time. And
wow. I mean, Jaden's
he was the Karate Kid.
Yeah, Jaden's Twitter was the most magical thing ever.
What? Oh, it got canceled?
I love how you say Jaden's Twitter got canceled like it was a TV show, but he
by the way, I've never been more passionate about the ending of anything.
It's like the Friends finale, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But
my uncle passing away.
Whatever.
Oh, well, it's a part of life.
Yeah, but
Jaden's Twitter?
What? That was my favorite Twitter. His was unbelievable. It was just unreal.
Give me some example tweets.
Oh my god! You know what? You guys talk. I'll look up some best of Jaden tweets.
And try and find that interview as well.
Okay.
There's some amazing quotes in there.
Is the audition process in the UK like what acting differences did you find when you came out here?
So I only did pilot season, and I've been, you know, I go on a few auditions kind of in between seasons of Undateable, but it's way more kind of hectic here. You're in and you're out, but I think that's just pilot season because it's kind of.
But you'd worked a significant amount in the UK.
Yeah,
before,
I'd worked. I did a musical in 2011, and I worked solidly from then. I was in the original cast of Spelling Bee in London.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Were you which part?
The magic foot kid, with the left foot, writes with his foot.
There's a Josh Gad part.
Yeah.
Dude, that's unbelievable. That's. Oh my god!
Yeah,
I saw that with Josh Gad on Broadway, and was like, "This is one of the greatest shows I've ever seen."
Yeah,
and it's the improv element, dude. Good, hey
yeah,
man,
that was great.
Already dug you. You just went up notches in my book.
Thanks, bro.
That's fucking so dope. That, tell me about that.
That it was amazing. It's so it's kind of about a spelling bee, and then you you get volunteer spellers from the audience up, and then you just kind of fuck with them while they're on stage. And that just, it just made it so interesting every night. And as an actor, you can't afford to switch off because people would do the weirdest shit. Like, we got an old man up one night and he was like, "Can you turn down the amplification, please?" And we were like, "What? Can you turn it down, please? The music, can you turn it down?" And he just started having a bit of a weird thing, like, in the middle of the show. But yeah, there was. So the idea is that you get all of the guest spellers out.
Yeah.
So then my character wins the spelling bee in the end. And there was this one guy, he was like an Asian medical student, and we couldn't get him out.
You're like, oh god, we're fucked.
We kept giving him words. And then there was this like this one word that was made up.
Mm-hmm.
That was the fallback.
Yeah.
And we had to bring out that word.
Because that's part of the fun of that moment in the show, because everything is scripted. I mean, music, the words, and then that part where you get... It's the spelling bee.
Yeah.
And getting these people from the audience, and it's just so many great authentic moments, because any musical people love when there's an interaction between the crowd. Because it doesn't happen a lot. And especially when they're getting brought up and it makes sense in the context of the show. And seeing you guys play off of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm sure that was a beautiful moment where you just couldn't get... I'm sure you guys...
There's nothing you can do. And the audience just crack up and they love it. The ones that didn't work were the people who were confident. Like every now and then you'd pick someone who was like an acting student or something.
Yeah, you can't have that. Because then they're trying.
They're
trying to be funny. They're trying to have their moment on stage.
And the comedy comes from how uncomfortable people are.
Yeah. Exactly.
You got some old dude who's asking to turn down the amplification. Then it's fucking gold. But yeah, since then, I worked pretty solidly since then.
But the audition process, you're saying...
The audition process. And in London as well, it's kind of like, out here, I'd go to an audition and... I'd walk into a room and there'd be 40 like kind of fat guys, like, oh, it's the lovable best friend kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
In the UK, because I'd been there for so long, it kind of that whittled down. People drop out, people, you know, give up the game and stuff.
Sure.
And by the end, there was like four or five of us who'd all get kind of the same roles or be going up for the same stuff. And
Yeah. Anybody in your life that's saying, because that is a big part of the game, I feel like, is just persistence and staying in
absolutely.
It. And obviously talent, taking care of yourself, all that, just, you know, being sane and not being a piece of shit. But like, I mean, staying just in it. So, I mean, was there somebody, you had good support system, family or a teacher that was just like, yo, man, don't stop whatever you do? Like,
there was the reason I started doing it. There was a guy called I was doing like amateur dramatic stuff. And I was going to go to university to do English. And he was directing me in this, like, Amdram play. And he gave me a ride home one night. And he was like, are you going to go to drama school? And I was like, no, I'm going to do English. He's like, don't do English. Do drama. I was like, what? He was like, just do drama.
Wait, do English. You were just going to...
I was just going to study English, yeah. I don't know what I was going to do with it. Just because I was quite good at it and I enjoyed reading and stuff. And
being an English teacher?
Just being English, yeah. I'm like, I'm already fucking in England. Like,
yeah, right.
So he was like, yeah, do it. Just do it. And I was like, okay.
Holy shit. That's why.
And then that just kind of gave me the nudge, just that one thing. And my parents,
it's all it takes.
My parents were always supportive. Like, my dad sold his motorbike to kind of give me money for college.
What?
And,
oh, great. That's great.
And my wife, man, she's just fucking like a rock.
Met her at the comedy store.
Yeah, you met her at the Comedy Store. Yeah, sweet. She loved you as well. By the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because you're kind of like, if I worked out a lot and lost a bit of weight, I'd say we're kind of ballpark. And I was like, you think he's hot, don't you? She's like, no, I just like this comedy. I'm like, no,
that was
no.
cool. You guys stuck around because that.
Yeah, no. Well, I'd seen you. We'd messaged on Twitter and yep. stuff, and I'd seen you. I think one night in Hollywood. One night at I can't remember the place. It was down by Melrose or something.
The Hollywood Improv.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the Improv. It was somewhere else. There's like leaves on the wall, dark room.
Fred Siegel. No, I know what he's talking. I know what you're talking about, Dave. I can't remember either.
I think John DeWalt went up that night as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I think I messaged you that night to say I thought you were really good and stuff, and then you were like, "Oh, you're on the show." And,
Yeah.
So we had a bit of a Twitter fling.
Yeah. No, but that was. But also, that was cool too because it was like you guys were there for Brent, and I was I think three comics after.
Yeah, my wife wanted to go as well. I was like, no, we're going to stick around for. Mm-hmm. Sit down. There's a hot version of me coming.
You're gonna love it.
He's hotter and he's funnier.
You're gonna think about this guy later. What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What is there? Obviously, stand up in England, and I know that because when I studied abroad, my junior year in London, I lived in St. John's Wood.
Oh, lovely.
And I
Very
went to
posh.
The British American Drama Academy.
Okay.
At the top of next to Regent's Park, at the top of basically, if you walk down the hill, Camden Town is right there.
Yeah.
So you walk.
What years were you there?
2004.
We would have been living within a mile of each other.
Holy shit!
Wow.
Do you remember a guy who would stand outside of his window every morning and go, "Cup of tea," and flick his dick around outside the window? Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. Just hate criming all the Brits.
He still does that. It's amazing.
Yeah. I walked. St. John's Wood, very posh, and I learned that word. And by the way, I would, like an American asshole, would. Because being around it so much, it's infectious that you were like, I want to see, and being in an acting school, you're like, I'm going to try to, like, as I'm going to these pubs, like, put on the accent and see if I can get away with it. Which, by the way, even the people that probably didn't call me out for it and made me feel like, I just got away with it, were probably like, fucking stupid American.
American piece of shit.
Well, and the thing, because like the same way we do, like, oh, can you do an American accent? Within an American accent, there's 12 different American accents.
Yeah.
And... like, and I've heard British people describe that they can tell kind of the not just the cities but the neighborhoods
in the UK.
Yeah,
man, it's crazy. You can. My parents live in a place called Newport, and I went to college in a place called Cardiff, which is about 10 miles down the road.
Okay,
and the accent is totally different.
That's amazing.
10 miles.
Yeah,
just like from here to the fucking valley. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just. Insane to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so, I don't know why that is. I know that certain places are affected by the way the trade was linked. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Cardiff and Liverpool have got similar accents because of there was the two major docks in that side of the UK were there, and we're getting really this is getting fucking
it's okay. I'm learning shit.
I'm very interested.
I don't know. The only thing I know about British people in history is that we threw a lot of your tea in the water. That's about all I know.
Yeah, all I know is there was a British guy named Patrick O'Fool who created the Slinky, and that's not even true. So I don't know anything.
I guess the reason we've got so many different ones is because we were invaded and stuff by so many people, whereas you were just kind of invaded by us.
Yep.
So I suppose there's less, because you probably had, everyone was coming over quite posh, we're going to rape and pillage this country and take it all. And
yeah.
Then you guys had to come in and ruin all the fun.
Yeah.
Would you, there was a main grocery store that I shopped at while I lived there, called, remind me of it?
Tesco? Co-op? Sainsbury's?
Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's.
You wouldn't say Barry, you'd just say Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's. And I would get Be Good to Yourself cans of food.
Oh, God.
Remember those? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fucking college, man.
What are those?
Be Good to Yourself is like the equivalent of Chef Boyardee, but not as good.
Oh, wow.
Be Good to Yourself is kind of less fat and sugar and stuff.
You're doing the opposite, by the way.
Yeah.
Of what the can says.
Yeah.
But it was, hey, I mean, you know, they were, it's like a fresh and easy out here almost.
Yeah. Those are the times of our lives, dude.
I had the time of my life there. I didn't even want to do it. My mom was like, at least audition for the program.
So you would have been 18, 19?
2004. Yeah, that was 11 years ago, 21.
Okay. So you could drink either way.
Yeah. And okay. that was when I really started to drink because those pubs, by the way, all my other friends that were studying abroad had class from Monday through Wednesday. The acting program was demanding. It was Monday through Friday, 9 to 6. And I don't...
What was the name of the school you went to?
BADA, the British American Drama Academy. It was... What?
I think I know one of your teachers.
Who?
Richard Digby Day.
I know.
That sounds like Richard a cartoon character
Richard
name.
Richard Digby Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys are bonding.
We got taught by the same acting guy.
Crazy. That's crazy. It was a great school. It was, I mean, walked from St. John's Wood, like a 20-minute walk through the park every morning, which was amazing. I remember that time, too, and people were like, the weather is so great. Like, it shouldn't be this. I mean, I would take day trips all the time on the weekends. I only got to go to a few places like Amsterdam and Ireland and Scotland on a few different weekends because, again, like
you
class
fly,
to
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah.
But everything was so close. Yeah, like Ryanair, Spirit Airlines, whatever. But it was fucking unbelievable, man. And this is what I want to bring up, too, is how much theater you were probably exposed to as a kid because we, as a requirement in the program, had to see a show every week. And there was, whether it was like a small, like whether seeing Henry Goodman in Henry the Fifth.
Eighth.
Henry the Eighth.
Yeah.
Henry the Fourth?
It was Henry the Fifth where he got a fifth of Jack. And
Goodman's great.
Yeah. Goodman's amazing. Fiona Shaw taught us a class there.
Fishow.
Yeah. And she was unbelievable. This school also, Oliver Platt went there, David Schwimmer, Orlando Bloom. That's who they
I think Oliver Platt is one of the best actors in the world.
He's unreal.
He's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Oliver Platt from Simon Birch.
Simon Birch?
From Wild Wild West, Oliver Platt.
He's in everything.
Yeah.
Fargo.
Well, he's awesome.
He's really good.
But I have just I want to go back so bad. But anyway, I started, when I was asking about stand-up, like, I had done it maybe five times when I got out there. And so, you know, of course, I'm a delusional, young, naive comic. So I was like, I'm a stand-up comedian. I've done it five times in this day.
Did you do it in London?
Yeah, a lot. At bar shows. Almost every night, dude. And met a couple of dudes, and then heard some crazy stories of Americans where they would finagle their ways into certain shows. So I go, I'm going to try to lie my way onto a great show. So I found this one show called The Monkey Bone, I think. Piccadilly Square, some other cool. You know, that's the other thing too, is like every night you could find another nugget of a dope spot, whether it was Soho or fucking whatever, and it was downstairs. And this guy, bald guy, looked like Phil Collins, not just because he also sounded like it, but he was like, I was like, hey, man, just in town from L.A., blah, blah, blah. Started making up all these credits. I probably said, like, yeah, I'm just getting ready to rap fucking Air Bud 6, and I just did the voice for the new Madagascar, which hadn't even probably come out yet. And I was like, I just rapped me and Shelley Duvall and Fiona Shaw and Sally Field, just shot a fucking, you know, you porn video. And I just was listening to all these credits, and he was like, sure, man. He's like, why don't you do 10 minutes before the headliner? So he did the host and then a guest spot. Or no, and I was a guest spot. And he goes, all right, this next guy coming to stage, he just wandered downstairs and just totally just fucking told me a bunch of bullshit. Just I don't even remember his fucking name, but he says he's from the States. Apparently he's super funny. He thinks he's... What's your name again, son? And I'm in the back and I go,
he knows.
Adam. At this point, I'm like, don't even say your name, man. This is the host. And he goes... whatever it is. He goes, I hope he's funny. If he's not, don't blame me. He fucking barged in here. Anyway, keep it going for
That's so English.
He goes, keep it going for it. So I get a kind of an applause, and I get up there and I go, the first line, I'll never forget it, because you know, you look like Phil Collins. I go, guys, keep it going for Phil Collins' retarded stepbrother.
Yes.
Nothing.
Crickets.
I mean, not even crickets, because that would be a noise.
Yes.
That would be some sort of sound other than silence.
That's funny, though.
Oh, man. Maybe a couple weird drunk chuckles, you know, because that's not fun. That's not, it's still a pairing of words and old pop singers.
Yeah. Sure.
That, you know, when strung together.
Hey, everyone knows old pop singers combined with swear words, always funny.
It's not bad, is it? It's a go-to.
Then I remember I did a few jokes. For some of the jokes that I did, one where I go, this show reminds me a lot of my old Little League games because my dad's not here. And then I did some joke
That's
where I go,
line.
I go, Michael Jackson had just come out with his number one album, where it was number one. It was called One, where it was a collection of all the great Michael Jackson hits. Mm. And it's got all of them on there. It's got Beat It. It's got Thriller, Rock With You. And my personal favorite, all right, I admit it, I fucked the kid in his ass. And that was the one joke I did that got like a big laugh. I'll never forget it.
Bring that one back. Bring that one back, Adam Ray.
They love fucking kids' ass jokes.
Yeah, so that was some.
Dude, I did some stand-up on the comedy tour with the guys. I call it very loosely. I'd call it stand-up.
Well I mean, because you're not
never done.
You never did it before. So did they come to you for the tour and say, "Hey, we want you to do stand-up
for
it"?
Bill was supposed to do it because Bill did it last year.
Uh-huh.
And Bill, it looked like he wasn't going to do it. I think Brent pitched me, actually.
Hell yeah.
I think Brent was like, I think Davey could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, okay. So Bill asked me. And it was the most scared I've ever been. Like, we did, the first show I did was Vegas.
Yeah.
And it was 600 people.
Mm. That's a good way to start your comedy career.
Yeah, so I'd never had the kind of bar of 10 people.
Yeah.
And because I was going through, because all the boys were out and they were all gambling and drinking or whatever, mm-hmm. and eating, and I was just locked in my room just going through like my stuff.
Now, did you write your material? Did they help you?
Like... I wrote my material.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I write as well. I write scripts and stuff, but oh, I don't. Okay. Yeah. Never stand up. And then I went out, I was like, I think I've got a good solid like 7 or 8 minutes.
Nice.
And I went out, did it all, didn't forget any of it. You know, what I didn't like destroy, but all I wanted to do was not make a dick of myself.
Yep. Yeah.
And I got some laughs, didn't make a dick of myself, came off. And I was like, the first comic is Ron Funches. And Ron was like, I got backstage and Ron was like, oh, what are you doing? I was like, yeah, Ron Funches. And he was like, he came off stage. He was like, Dave, you did like 3 minutes.
you thought it was... You just plowed through your material, why not? Let's just go.
That's, by the way, such a young comic move. A, to be word perfect because you're so cautious to get everything out that you practiced.
Yeah.
That you want to make sure you get, if I say everything that I wrote down, then I will be great.
Yeah.
And also powering through and not waiting for a lot. Just your timing's a little off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because also like the comfort of just doing the rhythm of saying what you were saying.
Yeah.
So of course it's going to be short. So then Ron comes out and you hosted the whole night.
Yeah, I hosted the whole night, and
but if you got laughs, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I did the tour. I did the tour as well. I did the rest of it, and by the end, I really enjoyed it. Like we did Detroit, and that was my favorite show. It was like a home crowd, Detroit.
Yeah. Well, right, because that's where the show is based.
Yeah.
So I mean, you guys are kind of their own adopted sons.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great in Detroit, and the biggest compliment I got on that tour was I came off, and I think Chris was going first because he had a flight or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I came off and he was following me and he was like, don't ever crush again before I'm on. And I was like, so even though funny. He was making a joke of it, it was nice that he acknowledged it.
Hell yeah, yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome, man. Well, and then
I did enough stand-up comedy to have scratched that itch, but I know that
Yeah, I was going to say.
You could say you did it. It was in a fun environment with your friends. It was kind of a safe environment because the audience knew who you were.
Yeah.
And
I think that helped me with the material as well, because I did a lot of kind of fish out of water stuff, you know, like Trevor Noah does.
Perfect, dude. Sure. That's what they're going to want to see too, right?
Yeah.
Do the guys, Ron, Rick, Chris, and Brent, have they kind of given you an insight into the world of just like...
Touring, for sure.
Or just stand-up in general. Like, I'm sure you got a little bug for it. And
just being around them and kind of seeing them. I remember the first time I saw Chris, he... It was the hardest I've laughed at, I think, anything ever. Because he was on Whitney, and Whitney was in the UK, but I don't think he was that known as a comic in the UK. He's becoming more known now.
Right.
But he did this thing where this girl in the front row sneezed like 5 times in a row or something, and he just went to town on her for 10 minutes, and it was just... I was shocked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so funny. He's one of the funniest people I think I've ever met.
Sure.
You guys... do you ever see a guy named Ross Noble?
Yeah. He's really good.
I saw him when I was out there,
okay.
And I was kind of blown away by his. Yeah. I don't want to say him and Chris are incredibly similar, but he did a lot of improvisation that like kind of blew my mind, and I feel like Chris is as good with some of that like just quick, like no filter, quick, like just commits so hard to, you know, to what's going
That's
on.
That's it. And if, you know, if you commit that hard, even if it doesn't work, you still haven't made a fool of yourself, because you're fucking in it, and you're like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I told myself when I would fling my dick outside the window in St. Regent's Park. I said, look, the animals are watching.
Cup of tea.
And even though the giraffe couldn't totally reach where I was,
yeah,
there was a zoo right there.
St. Regent's Park Zoo. Right by the,
cup of tea, cup of tea. Just the image of anybody flinging their dick outside of a window.
Did you do Shakespeare?
Yeah, all of it, baby. Yeah. So I got to get in on this 15-second Shakespeare thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I actually didn't mean for that to be a segue.
But it's a beautiful segue.
Because you've got a lovely brown voice.
Thank you. We did tons of Shakespeare. I mean, and lots of high comedy. Did some stage combat.
Nice.
A lot of mask work.
Okay.
Which was amazing.
Mask work, lovely.
What's mask work?
Oh, God.
A lot of half mask stuff. Dude, I fell in love with that. It was
great, isn't it?
Is it
unreal?
Like Commedia dell'arte kind of shit?
I was convinced. I bought masks when I came back from that, and I was convinced I was going to put up my own show with all that. And,
Santa
you know,
Monica, like on Third Street.
You got it, man.
Yeah,
I was committed.
Yeah,
but yeah, yeah,
but you're doing these 15-second Shakespeare things.
Yeah,
on your Instagram.
So I did. I started it on Instagram. I did like two or three about 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
just because I can't remember why I did it. I think I heard the song, "Hey, I Just Met You, and This Is Crazy."
Carly Rae Jepsen.
And I started singing, and I started going into like a posh voice.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that's quite funny. It kind of Shakespeare. And so I just did a 15-second Shakespeare version of that.
Mm-hmm. Because you're not doing actual Shakespeare monologues.
Yeah, no, it's picking like a dumb song.
Right.
But doing it really intense and really British. And like the one that I did. So basically, something has happened in the last week where it means I haven't slept.
Mm-hmm.
At all, hardly, because I did this thing called 15 Second Shakespeare. It's a hashtag 15 Second Shakespeare. And it's just caught on in London, and loads of like Minnie Driver did it, and Amanda Abington has done it, Rob Kaczynski's done it, like quite a few kind of names over there have done mm-hmm. it. And I think there's like over 1,000 videos now that people have done.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, and the variety of songs is great. And the one that I did to begin the thing was I did the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh my god!
Can we hear a little example of that?
What bit did I do? Okay, so it's I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, "Yo, Holmes, smell you later." I looked at my kingdom; I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel-Air.
Wow.
But I think
I
think you guys should do one each.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So pick a song.
I mean, is it weird that the first song that comes into my head is Billy Ocean, Caribbean Queen?
Do it.
Go for it.
But pick the best
you're
segment.
Right. Wait, don't do it now. Do it for the Instagram.
Oh, do it for the Instagram if you want, but I think we should hear it now as well.
Well, I'm trying to think if I know all the words, because I'm bad with words. Or Bone Thugs and Harmony, Crossroads.
I mean,
I was going to do Crossroads, actually, yeah.
It's one of my favorite songs.
See you. Yeah, yeah, that's
Crossroads.
Cool.
And I'm going to miss everybody.
Nice.
I mean, I could do Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yep.
Baby Got Back.
But do you have to do it in a British voice?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me think.
Do your Michael Caine, because that's how you can access it.
Sure, we can do the Michael Caine. Okay, sure. Stop laughing at me when I'm doing Michael Caine.
Sorry.
Now, you're just laughing because you're so amazed that it's so spot on.
Oh, because it's so bloody spot on. That's why.
You're mocking me. All right. Now I'm like being put on the spot. I can't think of the fucking lyrics.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung!
Yes! Nice.
All right, I got a better one.
Okay. Says you!
Yeah.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. Pissing the night away. Pissing the night away. He drinks a whiskey drink. He drinks a vodka drink. He drinks a lager drink. He drinks a cider drink. He sings the songs that remind him of the good time.
Captain Jack.
He sings the songs that... He sings the songs that remind him of the better times.
Pakistani.
Oh, Danny boy. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down.
Irish.
You need an Irish accent, can you?
I get knocked down, but I get up again. Yeah, I guess it's all really
bland. That was
bland.
Good, man.
Thanks.
That's a great song choice. I didn't realize that song was popular here.
Oh, really?
What? Yeah, Chumbawamba. They're British, aren't they?
They've got to be. They're just funky enough.
Now, all right, I've got a Chumbawamba story that I don't know if I've said on this podcast.
Wow,
before.
I don't know if anyone's ever said that sentence before.
I've got a Chumbawamba story.
Wouldn't it be funny if he told this story and it was the exact same story as the Val Kilmer thing? Every time he tells a story, he's like,
I'm over at the Laugh Factory. Chumbawamba,
Melissa McCarthy story.
Chumbawamba comes up in a convertible. Unbelievable. No, so. I go to these things every now and then called dwarf conventions, where all little people from around the country and sometimes all over the world go to one hotel, hang out. Most of the time, there's a lot of fucking. But
we go.
Yeah, like any convention. Now, every night there's a DJ and a dance every night, and when that song kind of got popular, we all would do this thing. The entire dance floor would do this.
My God,
when. And it was me, my buddy Josh, and Stephen Wilde that started this trend. We would start on opposite ends of the dance floor, run towards each other, and when they said "I get knocked down," we would slam into each other, fall over,
brilliant,
and then get back up again, and then back up, and then do it again,
like Weebles.
Yes, like Weebles. Only we actually fell down. So there was one point where this caught on.
Where is video?
And by like night six of the convention, as soon as that song started playing, like everyone on the dance floor cheered, got back to the end of the dance floor, and then like all ran towards each
hundreds
other.
Hundreds of dwarves just
hundreds
ran into
of
each
dwarves, like a scene out of Braveheart. just
ran into each other. Yeah. They all massed together. Yeah. An explosion happened, and one unicorn appeared.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Kind of like the Large Hadron Collider.
Oh my God!
We had no idea what would happen.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. I didn't realize that song had such a strong significance.
It's like the anthem of the.
It's the anthem of the dwarves
of the dwarf community.
Yeah. So if dwarves do take over at some point,
yes,
and that's not an impossibility.
Yeah.
As Jaden Smith tweeted.
Yeah.
I have Jaden Smith.
Yeah. By
tweets.
The way, yeah. Can we not forget about that?
I mean, okay. Do you want to hear some Jaden Smith tweets?
I mean. Are we friends?
All right. These are some good ones. How can mirrors be real if our eyes aren't real?
God. Hang on. How can mirrors be
real? Yeah. Hold on a second. Let's dissect these. Let's not just like read these and have them be forgotten messages.
Can you dissect Jaden Smith Twitter?
So
can you dissect a Picasso?
Wait.
Same thing.
So mirrors can't be real if our eyes,
because he's saying our eyes aren't real. Mm-hmm. So mirrors aren't real.
Is that basically if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there?
Yeah,
to hear
it's
it,
something in the same.
Some boat. Weird thing. Okay, here's
he's like
here's,
if you were born with no legs, can you not be a great runner because you choose to not be?
Wait,
well, because God said so. Like,
are right, you man. Reading the same website I'm reading? Because that's the next tweet. No, here's one. If newborn babies could speak, they would be the most intelligent beings on planet Earth.
Sweet God. And they would say,
bye, Karate Kid on DVD.
What a piece of shit.
Holy shit. Fuck that guy. Yeah, remember when I said, fuck man. Yo, kid?
Fuck him.
Yeah, dude.
Actually, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Most trees.
Oh, no.
There we go.
Are blue.
Is that what he
That's
said?
The end of the tweet. That's it.
Are you fucking with us?
Most
right now?
Trees are blue.
Has he got any hashtags on there or anything?
Yeah. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Hashtag psych, trees are green.
Okay.
Hashtag obviously. Hashtag my dad's the man.
Here's kind of one of those if a tree falls in a forest tweets. If a bookstore never runs out of a certain book, does that mean that nobody reads it or everybody reads it?
Jesus Christ.
What the fuck, man?
You can discover everything you need to know about everything by looking at your hands.
What?
Don't stop reading these, man.
Okay. The Great Gatsby is one of the greatest movies of all time, period. Coachella, period.
That's... I like
yeah,
that.
That might be
I
the best
one. That's
pretty
funny.
Yeah, that's
the same tweet.
Yeah. Of course it is, because that's basically him letting you know where he thought of that.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you just put two and two together of why he thought of that.
Sure.
That's pretty funny.
There is no nutrients in our food anymore, or in our soil, or in our water.
What if it was like in our hearts or our souls?
Fucking
Jesus.
A.
Well, it, Jesus you know, he's Christ. Making bold statements, and I guess yeah, that's what Twitter's for. Say something, right?
Yeah.
Anything you
My
see.
My eyes are real, man. Fuck that kid.
Anything you see in any magazine ever is fake.
What if it's the National Geographic?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Do you know that fucking hippos don't sleep with their eyes open?
Yeah.
Fucking
chump.
Fucking chump.
What's your trophy for, by the way? Adam's got a big trophy in his room.
That's a third place rec basketball league trophy.
Oh.
We lost to Brent and Rick's team.
Okay. They talk a big. Are they both really good?
They're both great. I mean, they're both great. I could critique both of their games. Brent is an amazing shooter and got great ball handling skills and very crafty to get to the hoop. And he'll go hard for like three quarters, or he'll go hard for about a quarter and a half, kind of scale off a little bit, and then you can kind of take a break defensively on him.
Okay.
And then, but when he like wants to turn up a notch, fuck man, lights out shooter, yeah. And just yeah, pretty great. Rick, Rick played against LeBron James, which I'm sure he's told you many times.
He did tell me, but then he told me he saw LeBron and he was like, "Hey, LeBron." LeBron, we played against each other in high school, and LeBron went, "Yeah, good for you, man."
Yeah, which I mean, and that's a great story, and yeah. Also like,
I mean,
good for LeBron to even just acknowledge that, because how many people have said that to him?
Yeah, yeah.
It would be great if somehow LeBron guest starred on the show because of that, and they had
it
that
was
exact
LeBron
same
in,
moment
in Trainwreck, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
The he's best, got chops.
Best thing in it.
Yeah.
I thought he was fucking
I mean,
amazing.
It's not better than this Jaden Smith tweet.
Oh, God.
Yeah. How we have diverted the conversation away from Smith tweets.
LeBron's acting.
So here's this one. "Happy 15th birthday," Mateo said to me. I responded, "I turned 15 long ago."
Because he can change time.
Yeah.
He can.
Because trees are blue.
Yeah.
And try telling that to Bob Ross, by the way.
Who's Bob Ross?
A famous American painter who used to host a show on TBS that followed or preceded Mr. Rogers, I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
In which he would just basically, it's basically as if somebody set up a camera to tape you painting.
Right.
And you commentated as you were painting.
His,
so you were like...
His catchphrase was like, "And now we're just going to make like a happy tree right here."
Right.
Okay, so
but he was a brilliant painter.
Nice,
and he had a giant
tree.
Fro and a cool-ass beard and some sweet denim.
We had a guy like a Rolf Harris like that. And
he was pretty cool, but not as cool as this Jaden Smith tweet.
Anyway,
if everybody in the world dropped out of school, we would have a much more intelligent society. Preach, Jaden!
Right.
Preach!
All right.
He might be kind of right on that one.
Are you? We got to wrap this up in a few. Are you big on social media other than Instagram? Which, by the way, what is your Instagram so people can follow?
My Instagram is at David Finn FY and then three N's. So FYNNN. And on Twitter, I'm at David Finn FYNN.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You're most active on Instagram, yeah?
I was until this 15-second Shakespeare thing started kicking off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so dope, by the way. The fact that you, and Brent being friends with, the singer.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran. Yeah. Now they're like drinking buddies and shit.
Yeah.
I can
Brent pushed that.
That friendship?
Brent, that night, Brent was like, number one, I'm going to be friends with Ed Sheeran. Number two, I'm going to do a live show.
Oh, sing with him.
No. Brent was like, I'm going to hang out with Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
He said to me, he was like, dude, I'm going to hang out with him. Yeah. I'm going to go boozing with him.
I can only imagine other guest stars that hopefully will be possible now with this third season.
Yeah.
A, get the show getting some legs. B, the live element has got to be appealing to, you know, and I mean.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And for me personally, because I did theater as well. So it's kind of the marriage of the two.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Perfect.
The live audience is pretty dope, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
So do we want to end this thing on a Jaden Smith tweet?
I mean, I think we have to.
In your Michael Caine voice.
Okay. "Currently going through customs, even though I was born on this planet."
Who controls the customs of planet Earth, you know?
Hey, Will Smith said, "Welcome to Earth."
He did. Earth? Did he say it like that?
He did. He did. That is not racist. How dare both of you. He did.
He punched the alien and he said, "Welcome to Earth."
He did.
He did.
Pull up the fucking clip right now.
Okay.
Because I'm not ending this podcast with you guys insinuating that I'm racist.
All right.
He added an F. Fuck you. That TH was an F. What happened to Adam before he died? He said that TH was an F. What was he referring to? I don't know, man. You want to read some Jaden Smith tweets?
I feel the same way they have poetry readings,
we should have Jaden Smith tweet readings.
Yeah.
And just like every, like,
evenings
he,
of, yeah.
he could sell out, like, he could tour with his tweets.
Brad, we're doing, we might need to make this, I think, let's actually let this be known, and I'm glad, Dave, that you're here for this inaugural episode of this, but I hope that Jaden Smith tweets can become a reoccurring guest.
Yeah.
And I think for the live podcast that we're going to do at the Hollywood Improv on October 20th, which if you're not taping, you should come to.
Nice. What date?
October 20th. It's a Tuesday.
Nice.
At 8 o'clock. And we're going to have some, I can't say who the possible guests are, but
they're going to be good.
But I think Jaden Smith, reading Jaden Smith tweets every week, I think is a great segment.
You need a song with it as well, though.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to have.
You're right.
You need a theme tune.
Yeah. Right. I will, in post production, we will put in a great song.
Nice.
Here we go. Here is to see is Adam racist?
Oh, God.
Let's play this game.
This is a big moment for me right now because I'm 96% confident.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Is Adam racist?
Don't say it again. It makes that then it's
Adam Ray, star of the Heat.
Enough.
Might he be racist?
I doubt I am.
Oh, 96%.
If you had Adam Ray is a racist,
it is official.
Oh, you are a winner.
Yes.
You know where I heard? You know where I heard him even jokingly say it was in a Mad TV.
He's backpedaling now.
No, oh, God, I swear to God, it was in a Mad TV or SNL sketch where they referenced it, and somebody was playing Will Smith, and they did that. Yeah, and that's why it's almost like when you redo, like when Dana Carvey did George Bush, and you would do the
impression,
and you would say anything about George Bush, you would do it through that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I was channeling that. Now, can I remember who or where that sketch was? No. Would that help me to dilute some of the apparent?
No. And,
are you a racist?
And,
yes.
And look, see that pillowcase that's on the couch right there that has the holes cut in it. That's a pillowcase. That's not a Klan hood. It's a pillowcase.
Oh God, man!
It's a pillowcase. I'm just saying. It's a pillowcase, Adam.
Oh Jesus.
So, all right.
Look. Read another Jaden Smith tweet just to fucking get away.
We'll cut that out.
No. I mean, I'm debating it.
No, we're not.
All right.
How much stuff do you cut out?
We've rarely cut shit out.
Wait.
Jaden Smith tweets might be the new Chuck Norris facts.
Yeah.
Is that safe to say?
That blew up, didn't it?
The
Chuck Norris thing. So good.
Is there anything that has happened in the UK that we just don't know about yet or vice versa? Something maybe happened over. Anything happens here that becomes popular, you guys find out about, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said earlier, we don't really do the late night talk show thing.
Yeah.
Like Fallon could easily walk down the street in London, I think.
No shit.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. And SNL's not that huge over there either. SNL is kind of comedy nerds get into it. Like I know about SNL because I'm into comedy and stuff. Yeah. But yeah.
And you're saying Chris's stand-up is just starting to translate over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think with the Netflix thing, I don't know if it got over there, but I mean it should have.
Yeah, it's global now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great if Brent's special really hits a.
Yeah. This, I hope so, man.
This crushed. This might be the winner.
All right, good.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. Jaden Smith tweets.
Here we go. Back on track.
If a cupcake falls from a tree,
oh, God,
how far away will it be from down? Hashtag Jupiter.
If a cupcake falls from a tree, how far would it be from down?
Yep.
Hashtag Jupiter. I mean, the mind boggles, doesn't it?
How far would it be from down? He proposes a decent question.
I think
I going to sit here and lie and say I haven't thought about that? I just want to know, when it hits the ground, does it hit the ground or does it hit Earth? Good night, everybody.
So that's the show.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.